people, another big day. What is up? What is happening? We've got, we're just 2 days away from Lakers, Clippers. Unbelievably excited about that. LAFC beat Seattle last night. They advanced to the next round of the MLS's back tournament. And of course, the Dodgers are in Houston today to face the evil, hated, trash can banging Houston Astros in a showdown from the 2017 World Series. Ireland, what's up, man?
So, yeah, a lot to get to. And this Dodgers Astros thing would be a really big deal if the Florida Marlins didn't kind of set baseball on its ear.
Right.
Three or four more positive tests now. So we're up to, what is it, 14 players now? And
let's
three
see, four additional members, which brings the total to 17 members of the traveling party, are now positive for COVID-19. And by the way, it gets so confusing. Phillies, who the Marlins played over the weekend, have had zero positive COVID tests among players. Apparently there was a clubby that tested positive, according to Bob Nightingale, but no Philly players have tested positive. But because there's an incubation period for coronavirus, we won't know if anybody on the Phils has it until later in the week. So they're not going to play until at least Friday. Meanwhile, Miami, their games have been postponed at least through the weekend. The Washington Nationals were supposed to be in Miami this weekend. They held a team vote, and they voted not to go and play that series, so baseball obliged. And the Phillies home series has been postponed. Now with the Marlins and the Phillies both shut down for the week, the Yankees will go to Baltimore for a series, a surprise series, starting tomorrow and Thursday. It is just a rockin' mess.
Well, you can do that when there's no fans and when you're all playing within your division. You can just kind of move them around like puzzle pieces. But what will probably develop while we're on the air, we're on from now until 6:30, is this rumor that is starting to, it's a drumbeat that's starting to get a little bit louder. There's a talk show host in Pittsburgh named Andrew Filippone. He just had Bob Nightingale on his show. Bob, of course, the well-respected USA Today baseball writer.
Yep.
Filippone says Nightingale came on his show and said the Marlins outbreak started because Miami players left their hotel to go have a good time in Atlanta.
Right.
You know, which is not allowed. These guys are all supposed to be semi-quarantined. Now, what's interesting about that, Mace, is that if you look at the other numbers, 6,400 tests have been conducted by Major League Baseball since Friday. There have been no new positives of on-field personnel from any of the other 29 clubs.
Right.
Prior to the Marlins weekend outbreak, 99 of the more than 32,000 samples, 0.3%, had been positive. So if it turns out that the Marlins all went out together in Atlanta and picked up the virus somewhere there, away from their hotel and away from the ballpark, I would have no problem if they just kneecapped the Marlins.
Well, here's a question, John. So their home base is Miami. The series was in Philadelphia. What the hell were they doing in Atlanta?
Weren't they there? Didn't they open in Atlanta and then go to Philadelphia? Wasn't their first series in Atlanta? That's where they played right before they went to Philadelphia.
Maybe that's right.
I'm pretty sure.
That would then make some sense. Yeah.
And so they all went out in Atlanta. What is it about Atlanta? Lou Williams, now the Marlins. I remember everybody wants to go out in Atlanta.
No, the Marlins were at the Phillies for opening weekend.
No. But it would have been like Dodgers Angels. It would have been like preseason.
Oh, a preseason game.
Right.
Okay.
A preseason series, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
And so if they did that, you know, they've already been taken out this week. They basically said, you're not playing until Sunday.
Monday, at least Sunday.
I would have zero problem. I don't think baseball will do it. But I would have zero problem if they said, you know what? We're all in this together. How you act affects the rest of the league. we know you have a bad team and you're not going to make the playoffs, but this is ridiculously irresponsible behavior. You guys are done. You're out of the 60-game season. Everybody that plays the Marlins gets an automatic win. Done. See ya. Would you have any problem with that?
If it
turns out they all went out together and that's how they picked it up.
I would... Well, okay, so the hypothetical is they all went to a strip club and got infected.
Well, I didn't say strip club. That's out there, too.
Oh, okay.
And Bob Nightingale said went out to have a good
time. Have a good time in Atlanta. But I assume a good time in Atlanta means that.
Could. Well, it's not a ridiculous assumption by you.
No.
By the way, if it's that, then it makes my question even easier.
Correct. Then it seems really reckless. Isn't that a double standard with Lou Williams? Players are backing up Lou Williams. They're like, he just went to a restaurant where women happen to be dancing. If this is true that the Marlins went out, why should that double standard exist?
I am told that there were no dancers in the club where Lou Williams was.
It was dancer free.
It was just open for food.
Okay.
Now, I don't know, is there any strip club that's open? I mean, I'm not a strip club guy, but are they open?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that based on where you are in the country. I would imagine in some places of the country they're open.
But if it turns out, I mean, even if it just turns out that they all went out and went to a party, like this was what happened with that women's soccer team. Didn't they all go out in Orlando? They all went out to dinner together?
Yes.
And they all went to a bar, right, to celebrate somebody's birthday, and
yep.
11 of them got COVID, and they just said, you're done. You're out of the league. See ya.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. They're a terrible team. They're in a constant rebuilding mode. They've got no talent of note. Like yesterday, I was trying to think of their star players. I mean, Sandy Alcantara is a starting pitcher for them. Brian Anderson, Jonathan Villar. They don't have a lot of guys. So the league will survive without the Miami Marlins.
Of course,
so yeah,
it
may be that you just kneecap the Marlins, the same way two franchises dropped out of the MLS's back tournament.
Right, because if nothing, Mace, this really is just a 60-game tournament, and you know they've been trying to do things on the cheap in Miami ever since Derek Jeter took over.
Yep,
and now they're acting like idiots. So we'll see what happens. Now that's okay. So that's the big story in baseball.
Yes,
the Dodgers going into Houston is a pretty big deal because Cody Bellinger came out when the penalties were announced, and AJ Hinch and Jeff Luhnow, the manager and the general manager of the Astros, were fired for their role in the cheating scandal. Cody Bellinger came out and said, "Well, now everybody knows they just stole a ring from us."
Right.
And Ross Stripling said, "We're never going to forget it." Tonight they meet on the same field for the first time since those comments.
Right.
Do you expect, you're kind of an old school baseball guy, do you expect, is it Walker Buehler who's pitching tonight?
Yeah, Walker Buehler's on the mound for the Dodgers tonight.
Does he put a ball in somebody's ribs?
I am going to say no, he does not.
It'd be kind of obvious, wouldn't it?
Well, it will be obvious, and I would imagine if I'm an umpire there, I'm going to warn both sides.
Before the game even starts.
Right, look, this is not going to turn into a beanball war. We recognize what happened before, but what happened, and this is 2020. I also think the pandemic and what has gone on in the last 6 months in this country has, to whatever degree, dampened some of the rage about what went on during the 2017 World Series.
Well, to your point, not only is it fair to say, the Astros are the luckiest team ever. They were going to get booed everywhere they went. And now there's no fans to boo them.
Right. Now, here's the thing. If the Dodgers were to get a lead tonight, let's say they get a comfortable lead, because the Astros are a really good team.
Yeah. Like they're up 7-1, 8-1.
Up 7-1, 8-1. Plunk. Jose Altuve. If you get jacked, you get jacked. Just do it once.
But haven't you always taught me that if you do that, the Astros are required to respond? If the Dodgers hit Altuve, then don't the Astros have to hit Bellinger before the end of the series?
Well,
or Betts?
What is the infraction here is 2017. Would an Astro player retaliate for the Dodgers retaliating against the cheating in the 2017 World Series? I kind of think it would put the whole thing, I mean, as much as possible to bed.
Well, the now, old baseball axiom is if they hit your best player, I got this from Tony La Russa, you immediately target an equal player of ability on the other team. So if Bueller hits Altuve, they're going to hit Bellinger or Betts. If not today, they'll hit him tomorrow.
Well, here's the thing, though. If you steal a World Series from us, we plunk Altuve. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, but they don't think they did. You think they did. They think that they would have. Yeah, they've all said it. Correa said it.
Well, their manager's gone.
They've all said it. They would have won without the trash cans. That's what they believe.
Yeah, they would not have won without the trash cans.
You and I think that.
Do you? By the way, you agree with that, right?
I do. But I don't agree that they think that. I think they think that they would have won anyway because they're cocky baseball players.
Yeah, they've got no shame. They've got absolutely no shame. It would have been. Well, Grant, here's the thing. We at least get to see him play. In a 162-game season, the way the schedule came out before, the Astros and Dodgers didn't meet, right? There was no interleague play between the Astros and the Dodgers. So at least we get to see him play four games this year, and the best thing you can do is punch him in the mouth and beat him four times. That's the very best thing you can do.
Right. And then
doesn't mean you can't buzz some guys. Just buzz some guys.
Well, I'm against hitting guys on purpose all the time because I think you could wreck somebody's career. I just don't think it's smart. But it's as you've explained to me a million times, because you used to work in the minor leagues, forget what I think. It's the way baseball works.
Yeah, it's the way
they police themselves.
Yeah, meets out discipline itself. It's a self-regulating system is the way. Now, I will say this. I was listening to Buster Olney's podcast this morning, as I often do, and the one thing Buster said is it's surreal being in a ballpark because everybody can hear everything. In other words, if the Dodgers start barking at the Astros, I won't say taunting, but start barking at the Astros, we're going to hear that. And we may hear the Astros respond. If I was the Dodgers, I think in the clubhouse, I would take a trash can, and every time an Astro stepped to the plate, I would start pounding on that trash can as a way to signify, we know what you did, you got away with it, but you're not getting away with it in the future. Just bang that trash can. What do you think of that as a strategy?
Kind of like it.
It's not against the rules to bang a trash can.
Yeah, kind of like it. It's kind of snippy enough where...
It is.
Yeah.
It's exactly what it is. It's like it's a little FU. Just a little FU.
I guess it is. All right. So coming up, there is a couple of different pieces of Laker news.
Yeah, there are.
First of all, Anthony Davis might not play Thursday night in the bubble against the Clippers. We have Frank Vogel talking about that. And did you see the ESPN expert predictions?
I did.
Surprise, surprise. We'll get into that coming up, too.
And also, Dave McMenamin, Lakers beat writer for ESPN, is going to join us at 3:30 today. He is inside the bubble. A little bit later on in the show, Alden Gonzalez, who covers the Dodgers for ESPN, is going to be with us. Talk about that big series tonight in Houston and also the unfurling drama of the Miami Marlins and all of those positive tests. And then the LAFC won last night, and joining us will be Adrian Garcia Marquez, who does LAFC pre and post. They will play again on Friday. They're three games away from a championship in the MLS is back tournament, so he's going to join us at 5:00 this afternoon. Mason in Ireland, thanks a lot for being out there today, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mason in Ireland, what is up? It is, thank you very much, a little more Chili Peppers sound there. And the Lakers and Clippers will officially play about 48 hours from right now or so. It is Thursday night. We will have pregame for you starting at 4:30 with Alan Sliwa. Call of the game is at 6 on Thursday night, John?
Yeah, Michael and I will have the call of the game, and there is now... We know that Lou Williams is not going to play for the Clippers. He's still going to be in quarantine.
Yes.
There is now some question as to whether or not Anthony Davis is going to play for the Lakers. Now, on Saturday morning, Davis played in a scrimmage against Orlando, and he was killing it.
Yep.
In the first quarter, he had 12 points and 9 rebounds in the first quarter. And then somebody poked him in the eye.
Yeah.
So after practice today, Frank Vogel was asked, are we going to see Anthony Davis on Thursday? Here's what Vogel said.
Well, he's day-to-day, and while he's still dealing with discomfort, there is some concern that he could potentially not play Thursday. But we're hopeful that he does, and we'll see how that plays out. You know, he's going to continue to be evaluated each day.
And so I guess you're thinking.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, so the Lakers have a 5.5 game lead going into these 8 seeding games.
Yes.
There is nothing more important if you're running the Lakers than the health of Anthony Davis and LeBron James.
Yep.
The health of any player, but Anthony Davis and LeBron James in particular. If either one of those guys were to aggravate an injury or have a problem, I don't think you can win the title. With them both healthy, you're a title favorite. If Anthony Davis is not 100%,
don't play him.
You know, I would have zero problem with the Lakers saying, take all the time you need.
I mean, the whole thing is you want to tune the machine up, but there's no reason to force anybody to play in the first game back in a seeding game situation where the Lakers, for all intents and purposes, have locked up the number one seed in the West. So it doesn't make sense to push Anthony Davis to play if he has an injury to his eye in some way. Sit him. That's okay. They're called seeding games. Yeah, I mean, they don't even count towards team awards or season awards. It's going to be choppy. I don't think the basketball is going to be especially crisp. I think we're going to see kind of a rocky start to the season. If Anthony Davis isn't ready, don't play him.
Right. And I'll give you an example. Like, Kawhi Leonard has played in all 3 of the Clippers scrimmages.
Yes.
And he was awful. I think he shot 23%. If I'm a Clipper fan, I'm not the least bit worried about that, Kawhi. And I think the Clippers, if Kawhi needs these seeding games to kind of work his way up, go ahead and play him. If not, if he doesn't want to play, all you need is to have him ready. And I think that's the way they're looking at it. Now, here's a fascinating thing. ESPN polled 16 people who cover basketball for the network.
Yes.
You know, these are people like Nick Friedell and Chris Herring and Baxter Holmes and Tim McMahon and Bobby Marks. Sedano's
all the guys
on here. Yeah. You know, 16 guys. So they asked them, all right, who's going to win the East? That was predictable. Almost everybody said Milwaukee. 13 of the 16 picked Milwaukee.
Couple of Torontos in there.
3 picked Toronto.
Yeah.
All right, but nobody else. No other people. When they asked who was going to win the West, and this surprised me a little bit, 9 experts say Clippers.
Yep.
7 say Lakers. So almost 50-50, but a slight edge to the Clippers. And now, here's what surprised me a little bit. Who's going to win the NBA Finals? Clippers, 8. Bucks, 4. Lakers, 3.
Yeah.
Toronto, 1. We got Dave McMenamin coming on at 3:30. I can't wait till McMenamin or somebody reads this to LeBron.
Right.
I think this is like the best thing that ever could have happened if you're a Laker fan. People are going to tell LeBron that all these experts say he's not even making it to the finals. And I think that he'll look at that and say, okay,
you know, he's already like completely motivated.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Put bulletin board material, put doubt on his mind and see what happens next.
In fact, LeBron did a press conference or did a Zoomer today after practice. And Steve Paulette, I'm going to let you know we're going to do this. And LeBron talked about his process, his emotions before tip off on Thursday.
I have no idea. You know, obviously it's a different circumstance. It's different. I mean, that's for 2020. You know, people have been asking me, like I said, people have been asking me how was the bubble, and I said it's 2020. You know, everything is different, and is you have to be able to adjust to it. So I don't know as far as you know, if it was like a home game at Staples Center, they won't have that feeling because our fans just give us so much energy, our fans give us so much support, and we want to try to give that back to them on the floor. But also at the same time, we know our fans back in LA and all over California and over the world. Are looking forward to seeing us play again. So, you know, it's still our job to go out and perform because they're still supporting us behind their, you know, phones or tablets or TVs or, you know, laptops or whatever the case may be.
This is interesting. He was asked, what does the team do to keep Kobe close?
But every day, I mean, you see what's wearing our Laker gear. The Lakers franchise is not what it is today without Kobe's presence, obviously, along with some other guys as well and people who, you know, in the office. But you know, Kobe's presence, his legacy is here every day. You put on purple and gold, you put on a Laker, you know, apparel. You think about basketball in general, even before I became a Laker, his legacy was cemented. So I had the opportunity to play with him, not only in All-Star games, but with the Olympic team multiple times. So, it's just a day. If you're a ball player, if you like the game, if you play the game, even if you don't even play the game, you're just a fan, there's no way you can't think about Kobe on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to believe now the Kobe tragedy happened. It seems like it happened forever ago, back in January, and it's been a really long year. But that is still there. That Kobe Bryant sort of the tragedy hanging over this team, and the fact that, you know, there's some sentiment that this is something that they need to overcome and get a ring, win a championship, kind of for Kobe. That idea is out there. It adds pressure. But John, if you go back to that list of do you think people who pick the Clippers to win the series are, I don't want to say wrong, it's a legitimate pick, right?
Oh, sure. They've played three times this year, and the Clippers have won twice. Clippers beat the Lakers on opening night, and they beat them on Christmas Day. Now, the most recent time they played, the Sunday before they shut down the season, I would think would be the best barometer because both teams were 100% healthy. And the Lakers beat them. It was the only loss the Clippers have suffered this year when they've had their full roster. They're 9-1 when they have everybody playing, and the Lakers beat them.
Right.
What's interesting about that is, you know who had a huge game for the Lakers that day?
Avery Bradley, didn't he?
24 points.
Yeah.
So, and he's not going to be in the bubble. Now, Lou Williams won't be
in the nothing,
bubble.
That's nothing that Dion Waiters can't fix.
Or J.R. Swish.
J.R. Smith can't fix.
Yeah, I'm very confident that the Lakers are going to be ready. I think that their mindset's good. The only thing that would be a blow to my confidence would be if Anthony Davis or LeBron got hurt.
Oh, well,
which is why what Frank Vogel said today about, well, we may sit Anthony Davis out Thursday. If Anthony Davis is not 100%, sit him out. And I think Anthony should call my friend James Worthy and get the James Worthy goggles to play in the bubble. Remember Worthy put on those clear goggles after he started getting poked
in
the eye? And
sure.
He ended up wearing them the rest of his career. He got the idea from Kareem, who wore goggles. And, you know, so Anthony, protect that eye and let's go.
Absolutely.
Because he's the one guy that I don't think the Clippers can guard.
All right, coming up next for you, we are going to go live to the bubble with McTen. Dave McMenamin will join us with the very latest. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. What is up? It is Tuesday. The Astros will be playing the Dodgers tonight in Houston. We will have more on that coming up for you a little bit later on. This is the first game between the two teams since the 2017 World Series. But first, I think you said Dave McMenamin's there.
Dave, do we
yes,
have
he
you?
Is. Yep, we got him.
Yes, sir.
Dave McMenamin joins us. Hey, Dave, what's up, man?
Hey, not much, man. Just in my 24-hour Tier 2 bubble quarantine. We can talk for the rest of the night if you want. I mean, I got to do something overtime.
What the hell is a Tier 2 bubble quarantine?
Tier 2, I will be going to the games.
Yep.
But I will not be interacting with the players. And so they're only making sure we have a 24-hour quarantine. So I don't get other folks doing the same sick. Obviously, if you're around the players, they care a little bit more. So you got to do the 7-day quarantine. I'll be doing that later on in this time down in Orlando. But yeah, got tested this morning. Got to stick in the room until tomorrow morning. If I get the thumbs up that I'm negative, then I'll be at the arena on Thursday to follow Lakers Clippers. But yeah, I think they're going to put us tier two folks up somewhere near the rafters and they let the tier one folks actually be closer to the players.
Okay, Dave. So in your opinion, does Anthony Davis play against the Clippers for the Lakers on Thursday?
I've been going back and forth with it, John. He certainly is someone that came to LA knowing that he had a reputation of being a soft player. And he really put himself out there this year to change that reputation. And, you know, when his elbow was hurting or when his shoulder was hurting, to play through it. You know, I think back that game he had in New Orleans close to Thanksgiving, right? The night before Thanksgiving, where
right.
His shoulder was kind of jacked up. But he knew there were so many eyeballs about him going back to play the Pelicans that he wasn't going to allow himself to not fight through it. And he had a monster game, and the Lakers had a comeback win. And so to me, he's got to know the same thing in this scenario. There's going to be a lot of people like salivating for Thursday night to see this matchup, Kawhi and LeBron and AD and Paul George. And so with that context, I say, yeah, I think he plays. But I have the caveat of like Frank Vogel opened up the door that he wouldn't play when Frank didn't have to.
Right, and he normally doesn't
that's
do
Frank
that.
Playing gamesmanship, I think it's right. Frank saying, "Well, there's a chance he doesn't play."
Yeah, as you look at that, and as we saw with J.R. Smith and Deion Waiters, how do you see those guys? Because they both looked really good in these last couple of scrimmages. How do you see them figuring now?
Well, Deion in particular, because I think he had a pretty consistent run on those three games in terms of the stuff he was doing. You know, Frank wants him to be a secondary playmaker for them and really have the ball in his hands and not just score himself, but get into the paint and spray out the shooters. JR, who obviously he looked fantastic against the Wizards, but the Wizards aren't an NBA team. They have nobody that are really the level of the playoff competition that the Lakers will expect to be playing. So JR, I want to see a little bit more. And also the kind of the diversity of skill set that he brings to the floor, even though at times he was a very effective defender in Cleveland, and perhaps he would bring that more so than Deion does. But I think right now Deion will be the person that I would be slotting in for more playing time between the two.
Dave McMenamin with us from Orlando, where he's stuck in the hotel for at least 24 hours. Dave, Kyle Kuzma, his name keeps coming up. Jared Dudley said he's been killing it in practice. Frank Vogel has mentioned it. You're obviously somebody who covers the team every single day. How much stock should we put in the fact that everybody's talking about how Kuzma's killing it down there, and then he comes out on Saturday and lights it up? I think he finished 10 for 12 or 10 for 13, made 5 of 6 threes to start. Has Kuzma turned a corner or found something in Orlando?
Yeah, John, I was actually watching Spectrum at some point during the quarantine, and I saw you on one of these Laker Top 10 shows talking about this Shaq story where he scored 60 on his 30th birthday because the Clippers didn't leave him tickets.
Right.
Well, this wasn't quite 60 on his 30th, but he scored 25 on his 25th. I thought that was pretty cool.
There you go.
It was a guy, you know, going out there and showing out and feeling good about life. And I think it's similar. We were hearing so many good things about Kuzma last summer with USA Camp. It was like he was the guy. Everyone was
right,
saying.
Before he got hurt.
Yeah, turning heads. Then he got hurt. And that lingered into the season. And then he was dealing with a completely new role and playing 10 minutes less per game than he was last year. And I think he was, you know, kind of just trying to find himself. But whatever he did over quarantine, over this four-month hiatus, his body is right. His confidence is right. Basketball is such a confidence game. Can he ride this streak all the way through without having some doldrums? Probably not. Like, that's not realistic. But I think he's in a much better entry place right now than he was back in October when they were starting the quote-unquote regular season. And I think that's a great thing for the Lakers.
As you look at the Clippers and the Clippers have taken a much different route to be in here. Multiple players took time away from the bubble to take care of personal business. I think everybody's back now except Lou Will, who is quarantined because he ate chicken wings, the dreaded lemon pepper chicken wing quarantine. But they've approached it in a much different way. Is Doc just operating in a looser way than other coaches? How are so many Clippers leaving the bubble?
Well, some of it, yeah, is even though there are a handful of guys, right? They are individual situations, so I think it's a fair conversation, Mace. But I wouldn't want to necessarily loop it into whatever Doc's approach is. You guys got to take what comes up,
right?
I think one thing that definitely Doc has is the long view, and he recognizes that, yeah, we would love to have all our guys on Thursday against the Lakers, but really we got to have all our guys ready to play in late September in the Western Conference Finals to make the finals. And because of that, it's similar to the approach they took with Kawhi Leonard all year long, quite frankly, and we're not going to play him in back-to-backs, and we're going to give him rest days when we need to because we want him to be able to play his best when the games matter most. And so I don't think anything's necessarily changed on that front. And also Kawhi is so good that, you know, he could have a 3-for-16 performance like he had over the weekend and then opening night drop 40, and
right,
it wouldn't surprise me. We'll see how it plays out, but I wouldn't judge the Clippers – really, and based on what you see Thursday versus what you see throughout all the seeding games. Like, the Clippers might not be clicking in the fashion that they need to be or should be to the second round. And quite frankly, the Lakers could be similar.
Right. You know, you won't know until this thing starts. Dave McMenamin with us from Orlando. Dave, they asked 16 of our ESPN colleagues, all who cover basketball, to predict how the Orlando playoffs would end. And in the Western Conference, 9 of them picked the Clippers and 7 of them picked the Lakers. And when they were asked who's going to win the NBA Finals, the Clippers were the choice of 8 of the 16. 4 people picked Milwaukee, 3 picked the Lakers, and 1 picked Toronto. Does the picking the Clippers over the Lakers by a national panel surprise you?
It does. I usually do these things. Like, ESPN has me on.
Yeah, did you do this one?
Normally, I bowed out because how can you predict in a pandemic?
Right.
How can you predict? How can I predict with a good conscience after I see what's happening in baseball? So, like, I was like, nah, I'm not. I'm going to bow this one out.
Right. Yeah, makes sense.
I think I can see it. You know, the Clippers were the team on paper, right? And Kawhi is the Terminator. Look what he did last year in the postseason. So I don't besmirch anyone for making that call. And I guess what theoretically you said was that eight to seven or something
nine,
like that.
Nine, seven Clippers to win the West, and then eight people right. picked the Clippers to win it all.
So it's kind of a coin toss about who's going to make the West. So
yeah,
right. Dave, can you do me a favor? Can you please take the results of that poll and read them to LeBron? Because I think when you do, he will just go, really? Remember how Kobe used to do that? You used to tell Kobe he couldn't do something, and he would just go out and torch people. Do you think LeBron has that in him, too? Do you think if a bunch of people tell LeBron that everybody's picking the Clippers, that he'll use it?
Oh, for sure. For sure. When the Warriors came back to play the Cavs in Cleveland, and Steph Curry said, that visiting locker room still smells like champagne. LeBron was begging for one of us to ask it. Actually, our media session ended, and LeBron's about to walk away. He's like, none of you guys asked about the champagne comment. It makes it fun.
All right, good. Well, I know they're not letting you get close to the players, but next time you're on Zoom with LeBron, ask him what he thinks of the national media picking the Clippers to knock the Lakers out of the playoffs. I think it might help us. So, Dave, what are you going to do? Like, you can order room service, right?
Yeah, I got to break down this room service menu in a little bit. I got some, like, we're doing a ton of preview content, so I got a bunch of work to do. But yeah, I'll do a little room service. I'm not going to be one of these people who like is running laps in their room.
Right. Who was it? Who said they were running laps in their room? Somebody actually said they were running a mile a day in their room.
Two of my really good friends in the media, like Joe Varden of The Athletic and Kyle Goon of Orange County Register, guys I think are lovely guys, but they're running in their room, like
just running around the room, running in place. I mean,
running laps and then like posting about it.
Yeah, come on, Mason. That's what you would do, Mason. You would run a lap and then post it
and
on
post
one of
about
your
it,
social media,
and then quit
feeds.
Running right away.
Yeah,
one lap, just because I want some of that Joe Varden, Kyle Goonshine.
People get goonshine's a great term, by the way.
Goonshine is like you should patent that.
But people get locked up permanently for doing stuff like that. They don't get out of quarantine.
It's true.
Run around that room. It's a little nutty. So.
All right. Well, Dave, listen, have a good evening in tier two.
And thank you for doing this. We may call you back since we know you're just sitting around, but thank you for doing this nonetheless.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Yep, you got it. Thanks,
Dave. See ya.
There's Dave McMenamin. Goonshine. I've heard other people say they're running around the room. I mean, there are grounds. I mean, why don't you run on the grounds? There's plenty of bubble.
Can't leave his room. For 24 hours, he's got to stay in his room. That's what he explained as part of the Tier 2 quarantine.
For 24 hours, he cannot leave the room?
Correct. Cannot have contact with other people.
Even though he's getting nowhere near the players. I thought Tier 2 meant
If he's in the quarantine hotel, my understanding is he's been tested.
Yeah.
So now you stay away from others, and then tomorrow he's going to get an email that says, okay, you're good to go, and then he can go to the games. But he can't go down by where the players are. He's going to be up at the top.
Right. He's going
to
be up
But high, if he exactly. were to go do what you're suggesting, like go for a run, then it would
What about
him,
go fishing? Go outside, go fishing. I mean, there are places to go.
Yeah, once he clears this level, he can do it. But I don't think he can do that yet.
Okay. Supposedly, I was listening to Zach Lowe today, and Zach says there's a way to get bubble ADJ for accredited media. You stay off the bubble site. You come in only to go to the games, and you sit way up high, and you get no access to players, and then you leave, so you have no contact with anybody, but you do get to see the games from way up high in the arena.
That's what the baseball writers are doing. Remember Bill Plunkett told us that the only way he's asking questions of Dave Roberts and Cody Bellinger and those guys is via Zoom, but strangely, he's watching them from the press box, but he never goes into the clubhouse.
Yeah, so that's so strange.
It's a whole new world we're living in.
Yeah, it really is. And by the way, and I don't know when it's going to go back. I don't know when it's going to go back. Like Actually, I'll save that for later in the show. I was gonna do something right there.
Okay. Well, you know, one thing we should at some point circle back to is what's the next move for the Marlins?
Yeah, because what's the next move for the Marlins and for Major League Baseball?
Because I think it affects the whole league. I think whatever they decide to do with the Marlins, it sets the tone for the rest of the baseball season. So we'll update people next on what the latest on the Miami Marlins is. It's not good.
Yeah, it's not good. It's gotten worse, in fact. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. You're cheating heart. Dodgers Astros tonight. They did a lot of cheating in the 2017 World Series, and tonight it's a rematch between the two teams in Houston. Remember when Cody Bellinger reported to spring training, he said that Jose Altuve stole the MVP from Aaron Judge and that the Astros stole a World Series ring from the Dodgers. He also said he lost all respect for the Astros as players. Dodger closer Kenley Jansen, publicly suspicious about a slider he threw Alex Bregman, who hit it for a home run in Game 4 of the 2017 World Series, called sign-stealing worse than steroids. And Justin Turner, furious when Houston owner Jim Crane said that sign-stealing didn't impact the games. I would say this is the most critical I have seen one team of another team in modern baseball
history. Yeah.
And do you think in modern sports history, has there ever been this level of criticism? In other words, they're not just criticizing what happened in the game. They're criticizing their personal integrity.
Right. They, you know, and blatantly accusing them of cheating, which it makes tonight's game interesting. And by the way, it's a late first pitch. It's 6:10 Los Angeles time, which is 8:10 in Houston. I'm not sure why it's starting so late. It probably has something to do with TV, but you can watch the game on Sportsnet LA, and we're gonna be on right up until almost first pitch.
Yeah,
and it's Walker Buehler's debut for the Dodgers. They didn't feel he was ramped up or ready to pitch in the opening series against the Giants.
And even now, by the way, John, he's only expected, I mean, he's going to be on a strict pitch count, and we may see him only go three or four innings based on how things go tonight.
Right.
Meanwhile, the Miami Marlins disaster that Rob Manfred says is not one continues to unfold. There were more positive tests. 17 now members of the Marlins traveling party have tested positive for COVID. The Phillies, who the Marlins played over the weekend, so far have had zero positive COVID tests. But remember, there's an incubation period for coronavirus, so we won't really know if anybody on the Phillies has it until later on this week, and that's why the Phillies are not going to play until at least Friday. The Marlins aren't going to play until at least Monday. So these teams are being shut down. And now you wonder, what are they doing with the schedule? I mean, all of a sudden the Marlins lose a week. Philly loses four games. This is what we said yesterday. I think that in this extraordinary year, we've never seen anything like it. We're going to be in a situation where some teams play 55 and some teams play 57 and maybe a few get a full 60 in. But we're going to have to decide the playoffs, 16 teams now, based on winning percentage, because not everybody. It's 60 games and 66 days, and now we've got postponements. Not everybody is going to get to that magic 60 number for total games this year.
And that's okay. You can do it based on winning percentage. But let me ask you something. Is it fair to accuse the Marlins of what basically everyone is now accusing them of? I think it is, and here's why.
Well, let's just point out that this is hung on... It's not hung on a bunch of tweets, John.
Well, hold on. No positive test since last Friday.
Correct.
Not one among any of the other 29 clubs. Just the Marlins. Mace, common sense would suggest that means the Marlins did something stupid. Now, it's not for sure. Could it have been a clubhouse guy who lives in Miami, travels with the team, had it, was on the plane, gave it to all of them? Sure.
But there are rumor after rumor after rumor, including one from Bob Nightingale, a very reputable USA Today reporter, that says the overwhelming trend is that the Marlins players went out in Atlanta before they went to Philadelphia. They went out as a group, and they picked this up someplace.
Now, I want to be careful with this, John, only because Bob Nightingale didn't tweet it. It's somebody else who tweeted what they heard Bob Nightingale say, but Bob has not tweeted this.
Okay, so Bob was on this guy's show.
Yes.
And this guy just basically said, here's what Bob just said on the show.
Yes.
But if you just Google Marlins Atlanta, you'll read everything that's out there. And it is, to me, it is staggering that one team, if they did this, would put the other 29 teams at risk like this. You know, especially after that women's soccer team made the mistake last month.
Well, let me ask you, why is what the Marlins did different than what Lou Williams did?
Because Lou Williams is one guy. They went out 11 or 12, and Lou Williams is quarantined.
He is now, but nobody would have known that he went to that place unless Jack Harlow hadn't tagged him in an Instagram post.
I'm hearing that NBA security was kind of on it.
Oh, they knew Lou was going out?
Maybe. I'm not 100% sure. I think Jack Harlow had the proof, if you know
what
I mean.
But you can't say the Marlins are,
See the difference between one player going to a strip club and 11 or 12 guys going out in the town together?
It's more people.
Right.
But they're still going out in the town.
And it's more contact. It multiplies the risk.
Yeah, if in fact they did, and by the way, they've got a very young team, not expected to contend, no big stars on that team, probably viewing this as having little to lose. Maybe they did go out. Maybe they went out and they partied and they all came back with this thing. Or maybe one guy, we still don't know the answer to this, maybe a couple of guys did, and it spread to everybody else. Because remember, four guys tested positive first. Next thing you know, there are 17 guys testing positive for coronavirus. So it could be that a couple guys went out, spread it to everybody. Could be everybody went out, spread it to everybody. I mean, you know, in the end, what they did in the MLS is they just said, Nashville, thanks for playing.
Right.
Not going to work out with you guys. Too many positive tests.
Well, there was a women's team that basically took themselves out of the tournament because 11 of them went out and they all got it. You know, and which is what I think the Marlins may have done here.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
If they did that, if it can be determined that the Marlins went out on the town to a bar or a club to have a good time and they caught it, if I'm Rob Manfred, I say, you know what? You guys don't get it. We're all in this together. We're now going to play with 29 teams instead of 30. Every game scheduled against the Marlins is now a win. It's a forfeit. And, Mace, you can use those games.
Damn, I wish we were in the East.
You can use those games to make up other games.
Sure, sure.
You know, because as you've talked about a lot, you're jamming 60 games into 66 days. Now this would buy you a little wiggle room. But let's wait and see what comes out. But they did something. These Marlins did something.
By no means is baseball. I mean, I've heard people go on ESPN all day today. Baseball, 0%. It's never going on. They got to pull
disagree.
The plug right now. Totally
disagree.
I think we're going right through the playoffs.
And I think we're going right through the playoffs.
I
think you kneecap the Marlins and basically cut out the problem that way.
Yeah. And by the way, the other thing baseball needs to do, and they may have done this already, but they should not be testing every other day. They should be testing every day.
The Marlins announced today that they're obviously moving to a daily testing schedule. But, you know, Mace, the Marlins...
Don't you think everybody should be tested every
day? I do.
Yeah.
But the Marlins aren't, you know, they're not competitive. That, you know, Derek Jeter tries to sell this crap that he doesn't need any star players. He trades Christian Yelich and Giancarlo Stanton for a bag of beans. They don't give a crap about winning. They don't give a crap about the other teams.
Yeah.
If Major League Baseball came out to – if it turns out they went out to a club, and I realize I'm speculating, and if I am, I'll take it back. But if they went out to a club, If they went out to a club.
If you're wrong, you will take it back.
No, because I am. There is no.
You're
not
positing a hypothetical here.
I am, but it's an informed hypothetical. It's out there. And again, ask yourself this, Mace. 29 teams, zero positive tests.
Right.
Zero.
Well, you know how
Marlins, 18 positive tests.
You know how I feel about it. Anybody that goes out from any of these sports, whether it's a bubble or not, and picks this up is selfish and irresponsible. Everybody is, they're only going to be as strong as their weakest link. And if the Marlins happen to be their weakest link, if they can't keep themselves from partying, again, hypothetically, then I see no reason why. Here's what I don't understand, John. You've got to, actually, we'll hold this. We'll hold this because
and we got to get to the scoop. But
yeah, we got the scoop coming up next, and Holden Gonzalez is coming up too.
We'll keep an eye on this Marlins story. If they got this as a result of all going out and partying, they don't get it, and I wouldn't have any sympathy for whatever the baseball commissioner does to them, including shutting them down.
The scoop is coming up next. All the stuff we haven't talked about yet. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.